Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. Do I then do the introduction? Is that, do I go, hi, I'm Sean?
Yes, you go, hi, I'm Sean. And I go, I'm
Mike. Hi, I'm Sean.
No, don't. We're not using that one.
No, we should. It's really funny.
Okay, I'm Mike. Welcome back to Squid Pro Quo, the longest running Squid Game podcast.
Least professional.
I don't think that's true, actually. I don't know.
Probably not, right?
I went into podcast mode and I was like doing my other podcast. So sorry, everybody. This is the bonus episode of the Squid Game Challenge season one.
Yeah.
And we're sorry that it took a little longer to get out than we originally anticipated. I had some stuff going on in January, but here we are in February and we're excited to be here, Sean, and talk about the squid times. A lot of things have happened. One thing I wanted to share with everybody is, we had a great response to this season of television. Thanks to you guys out there listening at home, whether it's on YouTube or on Spotify or whatever podcasting service you use. And this really funny thing happened, Sean.
Okay.
So we finally met the requirements to like get ads put on our podcast.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And Anchor, before it was owned by Spotify, had this program called the Host Read Ambassador Ads. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So they would give you something to read an ad about and you'd read it and it'd go on your show automatically recently, we do this on our other podcast, The Ansem Report, but recently it had just been like, hey, talk about Spotify for podcasters and why people should use it. Right.
Yeah.
We qualified for that program.
Ooh.
The day we qualified for that program, every podcast I have that is qualified for the program got a message that said, after February 14th, 2024, ambassador ads will no longer be available. At that time, existing campaigns will end and your earnings will be calculated for payout. You will be able to access your ambassador ads analytics through April 2024.
We got there, though.
We got there, thanks to you guys at home. So thank you for that. Thank you. I just thought that was
that is very funny.
That's just how the Squid Game rolls, right? That's just how the Squid Boys do it.
It's the spirit of the game.
Yeah. So not only do we not get any of the ad revenue for when this podcast was really blowing up, if it really blows up of season two of the actual show reality show, it's not going to matter. Thank you, Spotify, for podcasters.
That's why you guys know that we're passionate about this.
Yes. We're making $0 from this show.
And 0 cents.
That's true. And if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Goddamn.
So anyway, what do we got planned for today, Sean, now that I kind of brought down the mood?
Yeah. Well, I'm leaving, so... No. We're going to talk about, like, some kind of... first of all, we're going to, like, kind of wrap up our podcast. We've got some emails. I'm going to kick some people's shins on Discord for a second. After that, I listened to two podcasts that I want to kind of talk about from people that were on the Squid Game Challenge. Just like pull some behind the scenes information that I think would be of interest to us. Then we're going to talk about the making of documentary thing that's on Netflix, which I don't really have a lot to say about it. It's kind of bare bones, but I've got a couple things.
I got to tell you. Did you not even watch it?
Okay.
I forgot about it till right now.
Yeah. It's kind of bare bones. We'll talk about it a little bit.
You can tell me about it. That will be the...
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. I've got a few thoughts. And then kind of just wrap it out with like talking about the fact that we're still going to be here in the future because there's lots of Squid Game content.
There's a trailer to talk about.
There is. It's like 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, it's not very long. It just...
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Just showing our main character with his red hair.
His new red hair. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you want me to get started with emails?
Let me do... Because I've only got two things about Discord.
Okay. You go first.
it's just some conversation on Discord about the dinner episode.
Okay.
I want to make it very clear to everybody listening. I didn't want them to, like, kill each other.
Are you sure?
Because everybody seemed to be implying there were some pretty funny memes that I saw in Discord of people, like, when they don't stab each other at dinner, or Sean, when they don't stab each other at dinner, that kind of thing. I wasn't looking for that. I just, you know, in case anybody's wondering, Mr. Tim Robinson over here, I did not want them to stab each other with knives. Although, I will say, would the ratings have been crazy if they had? I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, Mr. Netflix would have gone to jail for that one, I think.
Yeah.
Especially because then they'd go back to rock, paper, scissors after the stabbing, and you want to talk about anticlimactic. We already thought it was.
I can't wait to tell you what they say about rock, paper, scissors in the making of. It's gonna, I think it's gonna make you mad. And I want to point out, you know, there were some things said in the last few episodes about one of the one of the great contestants, Hallie. You know, people in Discord. I'm gonna say it. Jip, in particular, Jip in here out here not able to understand that we can say, look, Hallie's an attractive lady, you know. But Jip is in Discord like, Mike and Sean are obsessed about her.
Yeah, no, I don't
know what that's about.
I watching the show, I was like, that is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the show in a while. I have not thought of her once.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think Jip understands how the world works.
No.
That you can say that someone's beautiful without simping over them.
Yeah, yeah. I just you know.
I think Jip's a beautiful man, but I'm not simping over him.
Yeah, I mean, my heart does a little pitter patter whenever he hits the whip, but you know,
but not the nene
specific. No, the nene kind of ruins it for me.
Yeah.
But you know, I just wanted to kind of kick Jip's shins for that because I scrolled back. Honestly, he said it like 3 months ago, but I didn't care about anything he was saying, so I didn't look at it until just now, and I was like,
and now you're angry. Now you're like, wow.
Now 3 months later, I'm like, wow, Jip, I can't believe that you would think this of me.
I think there's some like ginger hate that he's not really owning up to.
Oh, I think you're right.
I think there's some you know, I'm not a ginger myself. Yeah. And I think, you know, no offense to Sean, but
yeah,
ginger men have it tough, you know?
It's true. We do.
It's a tough deal. But there are some very attractive ginger women out there.
Yes.
But there's some ginger women. Just like anything, there's some ugly people and there's some not ugly people, you know?
Yeah.
Ginger men have it tough.
We do have it tough.
Have it tough.
I went out there on the Discord and I it's supposed to be a welcoming community of happy people who love each other. And, you know, to just have Jip spreading such hateful slander was disappointing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all
friend of the podcast,
Discord,
by the way. Friend of the podcast, Jip.
Was on the podcast this season.
Friend of the podcast, Jip, saying, wow. Wow, these guys are simps and gingers are ugly. So
yeah, he said that last
That's
part,
the exact
too,
quote. That's the exact quote
crazy.
He said. Yeah,
I can't believe
wild.
He said that.
Yeah, pretty wild. Anyway, is that all for the Discord?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So let me jump into some emails, and we got quite a few. So this first one is from Yasmin. And I think you'll like the subject line of this one. Why okay. Mai is the real villain?
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
And they go on to say, Mai having any opinion on how the glass bridge should have been played or whether or not anyone decided they didn't want to jump for someone should not have been listened to. She was number 20, and there were only 17 pairs of glass. She, along with numbers 18 and 19, would not have to make a wrong decision in the game. And now to hear that time wasn't even a factor, 18 through 20 was going to make it to the next challenge anyway. Mai could have just shut up. She acted holier than thou on who was not to be trusted, but she was the first to break the female pact. While she did play a good game, she thought her strategy of selfish behavior was more right than anyone else's. She was the true villain.
So, I don't... This is something that I kind of want to talk about overall with this, and it's actually a pretty complicated subject. in terms of like the morality of this game, which I didn't expect to be something that we were really going to be talking about in a Squid Game reality show. So I think I want to talk about this more after we talk about what Hallie, Roland, and Trey had to say on the podcast that I listened
to. Yeah, we can jump back to it.
So we'll jump back to this, but I do want to say, like, totally valid, I think, reading of the situation.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, now that we have the full show under our belts, kind of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know that I'd agree with that on the bridge episode, but now that we've watched the whole season and how she acted after, you're like, And then we found out that the time wasn't a factor. I kind of agree.
Yeah.
This next email is from Cameron, and the subject line is "Circle of Bust."
Hey,
fellas.
I'm so excited.
Hey, fellas. My name is Cameron, and I recently began listening to your pod after watching Squid Games: The Challenge and wanting to hear other people's thoughts on the show. My question for you guys is this: if you two made it to the final four in the Circle of Trust instead of Sam and Phil, and one of you had to place the box, who would you give it to? Obviously, Mike wouldn't dare put it on Hallie's desk, but would he screw over a fellow Squid Boy or risk putting it on Mai's desk? Been loving the podcast. Keep it up, boys. Looking forward to the final episode as well as the bonus. Have a great day, Cameron.
So, thank you, Cameron, first of all. Second of all, before we jump into the meat of the question, I think it's funny that that I was the initial one to be like, Hallie's kind of attractive. And in that letter, you catch the stray of like, Mike wouldn't want to put it on.
Here's the thing. I'm not ashamed. I'm not mad at Cameron for speaking the truth, because I would not dare put it on her desk.
I think the more important part of that is Mike would absolutely. But here's the problem, actually. I think I would guess that you put it on my desk.
Right. I'd put it on Mai's desk.
But you wouldn't, like, the phrasing of it was, would you dare to do it to a Squid Boy or fellow, you know, a Gonbu?
Right.
I don't think it's for that reason. I think you would absolutely trip me into the mud.
Here's the thing about this. You wouldn't have been in the Circle of Trust because I would have betrayed you like three episodes ago.
We did talk about this during the show that would have been Phil.
Yeah, I would have betrayed you episodes ago. So you wouldn't have made it to the Circle of Trust.
Yeah.
Or the Circle of Bust, if you will.
Yeah, I like the Circle of Bust. I think, you know, take that as you will.
Well, I mean, hold on. Who are you picking? Because that was part of the question, too.
Oh, I feel like probably Mai, right? I feel like Mai's the safest choice.
I think if I pick you,
you're going to know it's me. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I guess I could go for Hallie. But I feel like Mai is the one where, in that scenario, everybody's against Mai.
She wasn't be sure who to pick, yeah.
With Hallie, it could be like, oh, it could have been two of you. She would know that you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so I would have been following her around like an absolute simp at that point. Yeah. So, but maybe that's the move then. Maybe I go, hey, this was all a ploy. It wasn't a ploy.
Yeah, I think it's hard to decide the answer here because, you know, we would have built and evolved a whole storyline over the course of the season. But I think the easy answer, if we're going off of just like, if everything was the same and we were inserted into it, I think Mai had the most enemies at that point. So it was like the most amount of people could have done it if you choose.
I agree. I think you're right. All right, thank you, Cameron, for the question. Next email is from Inky Pasta, who says, "Hey, Squid Boys, I've listened to your whole podcast and I'm a big fan. Can't wait for your last episode in mid January." Oh yeah, sorry. I just wanted to mention how your point about the last three people being uninteresting was honestly so real. Because no one had beef with each other. They were all the leftovers from all the interesting people stating their interesting opinions and getting eliminated for it. In season two, they should focus more on betrayal and only being able to eliminate friends instead of enemies, like the marbles game, but less predictable. So the last people remaining will hate each other. Even rock, paper, scissors would have been way more interesting if the contestants were full on death staring each other.
Absolutely.
This is super random, but I also want to bring up what B said. Someone asked before the Honeycomb game, can I pee on my cookie? No. But this really highlights how there were some desperate people, really desperate people in that game. I'm sure someone willing to piss on a cookie for a Netflix reality TV show would have been amazing to see in the show's final moments. Just a thought. Thanks for your time, Squid Boys. Inky Pasta.
Do we see who asks that question? Because you tell me, I didn't remember that happening, but you tell me that somebody said, can we pee on the cookie? Immediately, I think it must have been Lorenzo.
Right. I wonder if that's something that was revealed on one of these like TikToks or podcasts or something.
Yeah.
I know B has a TikTok. I haven't watched a ton of it. I don't really go on TikTok, but so I'm wondering if that's where that came from, because I don't remember that in the show either. Because I feel like piss being a huge part of my lore as a person, I think I probably would have mentioned that one. Also, I'm disappointed in the showrunners that they didn't include this piss moment.
Yeah.
Because unless they didn't, I missed it. Let me know.
It's also been a while since we watched it, so it might... We did not rewatch for this episode.
I don't know. But I just think I would have... I've watched that episode 2 or 3 times.
Because you think we start, you would remember?
I'd remember the piss moment. I definitely would. 100%. But... Inky Pasta brings up a good point about how we were saying the last three were kind of boring. And I think, you know, we talked about early on how people were like criticizing this show because it's like, this is exactly what Squid Game's against, right? Like, this is the message it was trying to deliver. And we were like, well, yeah, but that's like, it's going to show that humanity sucks, right? And that's kind of the point. Yeah. And then, like, totally. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
And these people were way too fucking nice. And while that's like a nice message, I guess, it made for not as interesting TV at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got thoughts about it. Also based on like what I heard on the podcast, kind of their perspectives on it that I just think this is a super interesting topic. So, I will come back around to this in a little bit, but okay. I do think that everything everybody is saying is super interesting and okay. very like, I think I'm glad we're not the only ones that are like latching on. Cause I'll be real with you. I haven't like listened to anybody else talk about this show. Like
right.
You're the only person that I've directly talked to about this show. So
right.
like, I don't know this for sure, but I think that there is a very interesting, like, nature of humanity type conversation to come out of this
right.
that and I don't know if we're the only ones that have thought about that, so I'm glad to hear from other people that are saying no, we've also had kind of this weird epiphany during the show.
Yeah, agreed. And then finally, last email from friend of the show Kim and Landon, friends of the show Kim and Landon. Happy New Year. Hello again. Answering the question of what game should have ended the challenge, Landon had a couple ideas. We have two options that may have been better than Rock, Paper, Scissors. Number one, Tug of War. The final two contestants each fill out a team of 10 by selecting 9 eliminated players to compete on their team. Winning team members other than the champ each get $5,000 or $10,000 for assisting the winner. That's pretty smart.
I like that.
It logistically, I don't know how much sense it makes because I'm assuming most of those people went home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But still, that would be very interesting. And then number two, Split or Steal. Final two contestants have the choice to secretly select to split the $4.56 million or steal the entire amount. If they select Split, they evenly split the winnings. If one selects Steal, but one selects Split, the Stealer takes the entire amount. And if they both select Steal, neither get anything. And the 4.54 previously in the pig evenly divided amongst the 454 players.
I love that idea.
The result that would have occurred if Squid Game Episode 2 if they had voted to end the game. Happy New Year.
God.
Thanks again for the entertainment. Looking forward to future seasons. That's brilliant. That's what the ending should be. That's incredible.
It should.
Oh my God.
Like, it plays with the themes that they tried to do of like the social game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, that's excellent.
And it would have been a bummer if they didn't, no one won, but man, that would have been great TV.
Great television.
Yeah.
Man, that's incredible.
Okay. Netflix, you need to call up Landon.
Yeah,
for season two.
You gotta hire
Landon's had Landon and Kim have had a lot of good ideas this season. You guys need to call them up, hire them on the team as writers.
I need to know that somebody's out there listening, you know, for season two.
Yeah. Yes. Netflix, our only listeners are Netflix executives.
Ted Sarandos, if you're hearing this, I'm sorry about all the mean things I said about you.
No, that's when they stopped listening, Sean. You fucking ruined it. You tried to assassinate the man, and then they stopped listening.
Is Ted Sarandos still the head of Netflix?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably somebody probably killed him because you'd asked them to.
I don't think. Maybe. I don't know, actually.
You're looking this up, and you're very nervous right now.
I think he's still the CEO of Netflix. Sarandos. He is the co-chief executive officer of Netflix.
Wait, how do you have co-chief executive officers?
I don't know.
Isn't that what a COO is?
No, that's a... No, I don't know.
But you get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
The CEO makes the final decisions, but they work with the COO to like make those decisions.
Yeah. It's Ted Sarandos and Greg Peters.
Yeah, nothing ever works better than having two leaders.
Yeah.
Like two people who call the shots. I'm sure that's going really well for you, Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Netflix. Isn't it going great?
Hey, man.
They've got the One Piece live action.
They got WWE Raw next year.
That
big.
Is true. They do have that.
But they paid them $5 billion.
$5 billion?
$5 billion, Sean.
They
for
paid
10 years.
More than Disney paid for Star Wars?
For 10 years of WWE Raw.
They got robbed.
I don't know, man. It's hot right now.
I guess, but for more than Disney paid for the concept of Star Wars.
I don't know. Star Wars, they kind of tanked Star Wars, though.
They did, but at the time.
They couldn't sell Star Wars for $4 billion now.
No, they couldn't, but at the time. They could sell it for like $3 and a pack of gum. I'll buy Star Wars for that much. But
John, you don't have $3. Or a pack
you're
of
right.
Gum.
You're right about both of those things.
Anyway, those were our emails. Thank you so much to everybody who emailed us all year. In the off season, so to speak, if you want to email us, you can hit us up at the fucking email that we have. Hold on. Squidboys, SBQ at gmail.com. That's Squidboys, boys spelled B-O-I-Z, SBQ at gmail.com. And we'd be happy to, when we come back, whether it's season two of the Squid Game itself or season two of the challenge, we'd be happy to read your email. And who knows, maybe there'll be an interim episode in the meantime if some news comes out like we did in between season one of Squid Game and the challenge. So.
Yeah, I'm sure when we get an actual trailer for season two, we could talk about that.
We'll do small episode maybe.
I'm sure that there will be some stuff to talk about.
Got to keep the content coming, you know, for you
guys. Yeah. Don't forget about us, please.
Yes. Listen to our other podcasts that are definitely still running.
Yeah. Anyways, I listened to two podcasts. I actually messaged Mike last night. I was like, look, man, I had a rough end of the year last year. I didn't do all the things that I said I was going to do for this podcast. I'm just going to watch The Making Of and we'll talk about that. And then this morning I sat down, I watched The Making Of. It was still like 10 o'clock. We were going to record at 2. And I was like, I'll start listening to one of these podcasts while I play a video game or something. And so I listened to Roland did a podcast. He hosted a podcast with both Hallie and then he hosted another one with Trey. And they were both like 2-hour podcasts. And I listened to both of them.
When you say he posted a podcast, is this like a podcast he does regularly or did he two one-offs?
Yeah, 2 one-off episodes.
Interesting.
I don't know if he's going to do more, but he did 2 one-off episodes just talking with Hallie and another one with Trey. There was one channel that I guess covers reality TV show, and they interviewed like every fucking person. There was like an hour interview for people I didn't recognize.
Oh boy.
So you know,
that leads me to believe that we could probably get most people on our podcast if we wanted
to. I gotta tell you, I saw the person who was like interviewing people for just interviewing like everybody for like hour long interviews, it, like 100 views on their videos.
So you're saying it's not worth it?
Well, I mean, either it's either that, or I'm saying the bar's really low. I guess you can take it how you want to.
I don't know. I think it, I don't know. It'd be fun.
What
we can never have Hallie on.
No, it comes back around to that in the Hallie interview. It comes back around to
he
that.
He said no.
Yeah, no. It. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But
oh my goodness gracious, Sean.
There's a reason. There's a reason. And she says something on the podcast that's funny. Yeah. I guess this is to say to anybody, if you're like really fiending to find out what like the dude in the background who had no lines thought of his experience, there's like 70 hour long podcasts about these people out on the internet for you to find. I thought, like, I want to open up with this. I thought the two that Roland did were high quality and like very well done.
He's like a very engaging guy, because I've seen clips of these two. He's very engaging. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. That's why I was surprised when you said they were one offs, because like, man, you parlay this into like a podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's also like a studio space that they must have rented,
right?
But like, it's a nice setup. The sound quality is good. They're both like, all three of them are very engageable. It's a good flow. Like, it didn't really feel like two, although I did have the audio sped up, but still, it didn't feel like a super long time. They shared a lot of like fun anecdotes that I'm not going to get into, because like, I don't think that they're like, I wanted to talk more about the production stuff that they talked about. I think if you want the like really fun, like,
right, they're not our stories
they
to
acting?
Tell.
Yeah, go listen to the podcast for those things. And I highly recommend them. I think they were both really good. First thing I want to bring up is I got some confirmation from the Hallie and Roland podcast. I'm going to talk about the Hallie and Roland podcast first and then the other one. So they're talking about red light, green light, and they say that, first of all, they say that specifically the rules stated that you needed to stop when the singing stopped. They were all told not when she turned around, when the music stopped. So,
and that makes sense, because like the turning around is such a slow motion. It's like, when do you decide that you have to stop?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
But they said that it was made very clear. The vibe of the Hallie and Roland podcast, they are not happy with the people that like did those original articles about the red light, green light game. Like, they refer to them as sore losers multiple times.
That's the vibe I got from watching the show too. Like,
yeah. Because Hallie goes on to talk about how the second to last round, like during it, they talk about how each round is like 40 minutes between the, between like running. And Hallie talks about how in
40 minutes in between each run.
Yeah.
No wonder the squatty girl fell down. Holy shit. Why would you squat?
Yeah, I don't know. They said the first few were shorter, but then as more people were getting out, it took longer and longer in between each run. And Hallie said that the second to last round was an extra short round in terms of the singing. And she says that there were a group of guys behind her who literally trampled over an old guy to get over at the last second. But they went after the singing. And so 20 minutes later, all their shit went off. And remember we were talking about the people that said that their stuff went out even though they won and that it was rigged?
It's those people.
I bet it was these people.
That makes sense.
Who they went over, but, and this is kind of something from the making of as well, is like they were checking every single person before it went off. Like, they had people watching camera, like the setup from, I'm going to jump to the making of a little bit just to make this flow a little bit. In the making of, they show that like they had cameras, I think like up to 10 cameras watching every vantage point that you could get of the field. And then they had sensors, and the sensors would pick out all the people who moved. And then they had people that would have to manually check the footage.
So they were
before
rewatching
the
footage to say, hey, yes, who moved and who didn't. So they were being very thorough with it.
They were being very thorough. Like it was the cameras clipped the movement and then a human double checked that it was correct before the thing went off.
Wow.
So that's why like 20 minutes after they crossed, their things went off. Roland just had a funny anecdote about he had a funny thing to say about the red light, green light, where he said that people, you know, the people that were like diving and lying down,
mm-hmm,
they were falling asleep between between times running.
Really?
That, yeah, he said like people who were like lying down on the ground were literally falling asleep.
That's crazy. Like what?
I have no idea.
I wonder if anybody who fell asleep actually made it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's an insane thing to do, in my opinion. But
yeah, if you're trying to win money, that's an insane thing to do. Don't fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about, so like they said, Hallie and Roland said they were there for 13 days.
Oh, total.
Total.
And they, they made it to the same game and got out in the same game, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And that was pretty close to the end. So probably a little over a week, 2 weeks they were there,
yeah,
the finalists. So I mean 30 days, that's a long, and they brought up a point that I doubt they'll do this in season two because it would kind of break the immersion, but I think it would put a lot of things into context. They said they wish that on the challenge days there had just been a little ticker that said what day it was, you know. Because hearing them talk about this experience, a lot of how some of the people in there were acting makes a lot more sense.
Well, right. Because, like, obviously we know watching the show that they're not showing us everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, some of the times it would be like, oh, like, for example, the answer the phone guy early on and Brighton seemed to have all this history. And they only really showed us one time where they interacted.
Yeah.
And it was like, the guy's like, I hate that guy. And I was like, wait, over that? You know? And so like not having the context of, oh, they've probably talked multiple times over these days that we didn't see, makes it make a little more sense. But again, I don't think they should necessarily like show all of that.
Yeah,
that would be a pretty boring show. So they pick and choose, but it's just interesting with that hindsight to go, oh, that makes more sense as to why they were kind of at each other's throat there is because there was more interactions than we saw.
Yeah, like at one point in Trey's podcast, he mentioned that the picnic, they did the picnic and then the marble game was the next day.
Right, right. They didn't immediately go play marbles.
They didn't immediately go play marbles or whatever. This was a funny thing they were talking about, how after the cookie game, there was a rumor that in the middle of the test or in the middle of the night, there would be a test because in the middle of the night in the show, there was that brawl. And I just think that's a funny, like.
Yeah, I think at that point they were probably all like considering like, okay, this is going just like the show went. So what happens in the show, right?
They should do something in the middle of the night season two, I think.
Yeah, they should just start murdering people, rude. Sean, right?
I don't know about that. I feel like...
I think that's what you're asking for.
I feel like I'm presenting a certain... unintentionally presenting a certain vibe that isn't necessarily what I'm going
for. Sean brings a certain amount of, I want people to be murdered on live television that people really just don't like.
Roland talked about, like... Netflix had like could ruin everybody's life on this show if they wanted to. He was like, the things people were talking about mic'd up were insane.
Like what?
He said that somebody came up to him and admitted that they were fired from their last job for failing a drug test. Like mic'd up with that footage, like could be used, could be shown to like everybody.
But
and I guess
who cares? They got fired already.
Yeah, but like, if you're on, I would think if it's like a really big hit, you wouldn't want potential employers in the future to be like,
all right, but like, what are the chances that you go into an employer and they go, hey, I saw you on the Squid Game Challenge and you said you failed a drug test?
I still wouldn't take the risk.
I think the bigger issue would be, can you pass a drug test now? You know, like, I think that's probably the bigger problem for them.
Yeah. But there was just a lot of stuff. They said they were like talking very personal details about their lives that were like,
one guy's you know, like, hey, I cheated on my wife.
Like, yeah, you know? Just like saying like bad things about like personal friends and family members. It's like, you know, somebody's going to watch this eventually. Right. Right?
That always has mystified me about reality television.
Yeah.
When people say things or do like the way Maya acted with TJ, like he is going to hear this.
Yep.
He is going to know that you said these things. Aren't you worried about that?
Yeah.
And I saw a TikTok with TJ where he was like, hey, people were like, hey, were you mad when Mai said these things? And in typical TJ fashion, he was just kind of like, yeah, you know, it stung a little bit, but I'm all about positivity and moving forward and being a leader. And so I don't dwell on that stuff from the past. And, you know, I'm glad Mai won. She played a great game, but like, you know, I'm not really worried about that. I'm just worried about my family and my friends and moving forward. You know, just the typical shit he would say on the show. So to me, I was like, wow, this guy's real. You know what I mean? This is who he is.
Okay. This is an anecdote from the podcast, but I have to bring it up because it's about TJ and you brought it to you. It's just, it's perfect. So they said that they met up with TJ, or I think Roland met up with TJ or something. And TJ said that on the flight to meet up, he was seated like in front of a crying baby, and the baby would only stop when TJ looked back at him. And so eventually, like in the flight, TJ went, just give me that baby. And the parents were like, okay. And he just held this random baby for the rest of the flight so it would stay quiet.
Holy shit. That's insane. That's like that's like a Paul Bunyan ass story. You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, this guy, he held this baby and it didn't cry. You know, like that's just like, that's like shit you say about like folklore heroes, you know? Davy fucking Crockett ass. Like, holy shit, dude. That's so wild.
I know. I just, TJ was our boy during the show, so I had to bring up that anecdote when you started talking about
TJ. Hell yeah.
Because that's insane. It's so cool. Now for the reason that Hallie can't come on the podcast. Hallie said that she heard other people on other podcasts say that Worships had them on the edge of their seat. And I went, she's got to be talking about us, right?
Right.
Who else is talking about? And so the reason she can't come on the podcast is because now I'm embarrassed.
Well, okay. So you think that she listened to our podcast?
Yeah.
And we said that Worships had us on the edge of our seat. Did we say that?
Yeah, I think we said we liked it.
Okay.
We said that it was way better than we thought it was going
to
be.
So, Hallie, if you're listening to this, I want you to reach out. Squidboys, SPQ@gmail.com, or find me on Twitter. I want you to reach out. If you actually listen to this podcast or have listened to this podcast and you're listening right now, I want you to reach out. I want to talk to you.
My question
and
is
I
just
want
like,
to embarrass Sean. Because I'm not embarrassed to say I was simping. I'm not embarrassed. I'm just being real.
Yeah, I know you aren't. Yeah.
Sean's just, embarrassed.
Look, I am embarrassed. I will say, like, who else could it be? You know what I'm talking about? Like, who else was doing a podcast about it?
I don't know. There might be.
I feel like we didn't find any. We looked.
Yeah, that was before, though.
I guess maybe. Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, I'm sure. Okay. My thought is that there are podcasts that more or less cover like reality TV, not necessarily just Squid Game. And that's maybe what she's talking about. I would be surprised if she listened.
I would be too.
But if you are, Hallie, please reach out. We're all Midwesterners, you know? Like, we can chat. Well, then by we're all, I mean me and her, not you.
Yeah, I'm an East Coast boy.
Basically, Hallie, you and I can just chat. We don't need Sean.
Yeah.
We don't need Sean. Yeah.
Look, she probably wasn't talking about our podcast, but she did mention listening to people who liked it on podcasts, and I was like, oh, no. But the point of all of this is that she went on to say that when watching the Worships game, she thought it was very boring.
Really?
And I completely disagree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was really engaging.
If you're listening. I don't know.
I can imagine how, having lived through it, you might think it's kind of boring, because I'm sure the experience itself was like long-winded and not that exciting. But I do think that like, I don't know. The way they edited it was very well done.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty compelling. I think not all of it was compelling. Like, and they knew that, and they skipped kind of the games that weren't as compelling, right? I think a lot of the reason it was compelling for me is because the Brighton of it all.
Yeah, Brighton.
Yeah.
God, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Actually sunk in that battleship.
Yeah, he died. He died in the battleship. He definitely wasn't at the end of the show doing push-ups.
No, not at all. No. God, what? That would have been a great way to, like, end the season. Just him alone in the room doing push-ups as the lights go out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's just always there.
Oh boy. I don't even know what to say to that.
Roland talked about how during the marbles game, there was an adjudicator who had to come out and you had to explain the rules of your game before you could play it. So that if you disagreed during the game, they could make an official ruling.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And he's like, he was saying it like, they needed this in case some people did this, which they did.
Yeah, they definitely did.
My question is, what the fuck happened with the guy who said, I'm just not going to play?
Yeah, I don't know. They must have, like, as time was going down when they agreed, the person ran out, they explained the rules, they did it.
I guess, yeah.
And then it didn't work, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. And he said they only had 20 minutes for the marbles game.
Yeah, I think we knew that.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah, they put 20 minutes in the sky.
I guess it's like, I don't believe them when they do like, this is happening over this short period of time. I don't know. In a reality show, I don't believe that.
Right, for sure.
But this one, you know.
This one made sense.
I just thought it was funny. Roland said like he had no idea it would be marbles. And because he was so like deprived at that point that all he was thinking was, we do deserve a treat.
Yeah. They definitely were tortured at that point. So it's like, oh, we do deserve a treat. This is great. They're being nice to us. And it's like, nope, not today.
They said that the one guy, you know, the one guy who was left alone.
Yeah.
That didn't play. He's like went and slept alone in the white room that night with like just one producer watching him.
That's fucking weird.
Which is a creepy thing.
What the fuck? So wait, it took them overnight to play that game though?
Because marbles, remember they picked the teams and everything, and then it was a day before they played marbles. So that night, that guy went off.
Right, like, but like they didn't the sleep in the dorm the picnic, still?
The rest of them did, but they separated him from the rest of the game.
Oh.
Because he wasn't going to be playing the next day, so they just moved him out.
Huh. Interesting.
Which is a little weird, but
yeah, very.
The biggest thing they said that I thought was interesting, well, not interesting, but like it makes a lot of sense, and there was a lot of controversy around this, was they said that they all signed a contract that they would be paid 90 days after the finale. So if you remember, after the show aired, there was a lot of hubba about the fact that Mai hadn't gotten her money yet.
Right.
There was a lot of outlets that were like, what the fuck is going on? Why hasn't she gotten her money yet? And in the podcast, they're like, I don't know why people were making a big fuss. We signed this contract that said, like, we were all well aware it would be 90 days after that we would get paid. So I thought that was interesting.
Had it only been 90 days, though?
After the finale aired, it hadn't even been 90 days.
Really?
I don't think it's been 98 days since the finale aired.
What?
Finale aired mid-December?
Man, time is a flat circle.
That's 3 months after the finale. I don't think it's been 3 months. It's been like two.
Can you imagine like you have like $4.5 million coming your way and you just can't have it?
Yeah.
It'd be awful.
Yeah, for 3 months. I mean, even longer than that, I guess, because you have to wait until the finale airs first, and then the timer starts.
I guess that's why people have those, like, get your cash settlement now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to move to the Trey and Roland interview, where they talked a lot about how they think that Netflix really wanted people to hook up.
Oh, did they, like, provide them, like, condoms and stuff?
They had condoms, and they just kind of were like,
shit.
They were kind of were like, you know, if you do that, like, there's no rules against it. And they also were like, hey, do you guys, like, I guess the producers would be, like, asking, like, do you know if, like, so-and-so likes so-and-so? Like,
Netflix was trying to get them to breed.
Yeah.
That's so fucking insane. It's like they were playing Cult of the Lamb.
They said that that waiting for the umbrella, it was like 4 hours sitting in that line waiting to go in and play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the guy who was guarding the phone, I can't remember what his name was, or his number.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
That guy.
Uh-huh.
They were like, this guy was actively trying to make everybody else's days worse.
Yeah, so I watched, like, some TikToks about him and how, and uh-huh. He even said, yeah, I was a dick.
Like, to the point where they said everybody cheered when he left.
Yeah.
And then with Brighton, they said that the other team cheered when they heard that they sunk Brighton's boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he was an ass too. Like, no one wanted him there. Back to the sex thing.
Yeah.
I guess, did they say that anybody hooked up?
They said that people definitely were sleeping in the same bunk, but that nobody hooked up as far as they knew. But they They said that people definitely hooked up afterwards. They know for a fact.
Oh,
but
so
they
like
don't
they,
know. Yeah. They don't know for afterwards. A fact. Yeah. They don't know for a fact that anybody actually did anything in the dorms.
What if Trey found out his mom hooked up with somebody?
They did also say that.
sorry.
They did also say that some contestants hooked up before red light, green light, and got sent home.
Wait, they hooked up before red light, green light?
At the hotel, like, the night before the game started, and they got sent home.
Why?
Because they weren't supposed to interact at all until the game started.
Oh, okay.
Like, they weren't even, like, apparently there were, like, guards on the elevators and stuff that were, like, don't talk to each other.
What the fuck? So what do they do then? They just found more people?
They said they brought standbys.
Okay, so there were definitely paid actors in that game.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
That's what I thought. I mean, watching it, I felt that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the guy that went up against the wall, you're a fucking paid actor, okay? I know you're a fucking paid actor, buddy. You're like, oh, this would be a cool shot if someone got capped up against the wall and they slid down it. I know you're a fucking paid actor, okay?
Mike's got your ass, dude.
I got your ass in 4K, buddy.
They also expanded upon their dislike of Dr. V.
Oh, so they people said, actually didn't like him.
Yeah, they said Dr. V was starting a cult in there.
Hell yeah, dude. Dude. That'd be me. I feel like I'd go Dr. V route. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just start trying to get, you know, use my words and try to gain people's hearts. You know what I mean? Like become a leader through captivating people's hearts and minds. I think that's the way to go. It's just if it doesn't work, then you get what we have here, where everybody's like, yeah, fuck this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be real charismatic and good at it. Roland revealed that he and I have the same brain cell, and apparently one other person, because he said that him and the other last guy in line when they were doing the voting joked around about voting for each other to be funny, but decided not to. But he also was like, maybe I should vote for myself, which I was like, that's what I said I would do if I was there.
I feel like
he didn't commit, though, you know. So
I feel like that could be funny and be like kind of disarm some people. But on that same token, I feel like it could kind of put a target on you because people are like, you're not taking the game seriously.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what he said, why he didn't do it, which makes total sense. Yeah. I just don't have that much impulse control.
Right. You're right. You would definitely have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably would have voted for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. They were talking. I think that would be a mistake because I think you could more easily take me out later.
Yeah, but you weren't. I would be the only one that would vote for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't vote for you if other people did.
Okay. apparently, Trey talked about the infamous glass bridge, which we've talked about a million times. And what Trey said was, like, while they were waiting, Trey, like, totally tuned everybody out and was not listening to them. And then Chad came up to him and said, "Do what you have to do, man." And then Trey got, like, he said, "I got super into my own head and I was like, I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to solo the glass bridge."
Oh, you know what the chances are of him doing that?
We know. We did the math. I mean, I don't remember, but we did the math at one point.
Like, you were more, well, actually, didn't we say it was less likely than finding a shiny Pokemon or something like that?
I think so.
So maybe Trey was onto something.
And Roland had the funniest line that I heard during all the podcasts, where he said he got mad because, and I quote, "TJ said, 'We all got this, God bless,' and then walked off and died."
I mean, that's basically how they portrayed it in the show, right? Which I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
It felt like
a fucking... killed morale immediately.
Right. It felt like a fucking, like, something that happens in, like, a parody movie or something. You know what I mean? Like he's going to do it. He's going to win. And then, pew, just gone.
Yeah. It was really funny. And the last little bit that I got from that was that they signed a contract not to split the money during the game. Like, or they couldn't say that they could split the money during the game. They could make the deal afterwards. But during the game, they were not allowed to be like, "Hey, if we do this together, we'll split it on the outside."
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, say Mai and Phil wanted to just split the money.
They could not have made a deal.
They couldn't talk about it.
No.
In front of everybody, but if they had...
But they were constantly all mic'd and being watched, so producers would have seen it. Right. They couldn't have verbally... And I mean, they said there were cameras for every single bunk. So I really don't even know where you could have been in there, where you could have talked.
I mean, if you had paper and a pen.
Yeah, I guess if you could cover. But even then, I think the producers were watching so closely that if you were doing that, a producer would have come out and been like, "What was on that piece of paper that we couldn't see?"
And you'd be like, "I don't know," and then eat the paper.
And then they'd be like, "Well, that's fucking sus as hell." Like,
well, they can't prove I broke any rules. I just ate a piece of paper.
Yeah, I guess.
Interesting.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I want to talk about the making of documentary just very quickly here. They had a quote that I thought was beautifully hilarious, where they said, "There's no jeopardy of death, so we replaced it with the threat of losing $4.56 million. And I was like, I don't know if those are equal.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that and like, that's not adding something. That's what the original game was, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
There was a British lady talking about the cookies, and she kept calling them biscuits. And that's not about her. That's just about the British.
The British are insufferable, dude.
It's really, yeah. There was.
We'll have a biscuit. It's like, no, I want a fucking cookie, you clod.
They did a really. They talked about like a lot of the custom work that went into this, and they. I think they went a little too far. they said they like experimented with the cookies for a long time to get them just right for like, so they weren't too brittle or they weren't too tough and yada, yada, yada. Like they were all custom made and took them forever to get them. They said every single tile in the bathrooms was custom made because they wanted it to match the set from the show.
What? I mean, okay. Hear me out here. If you want your tiles in your kitchen or your bathroom to be a certain way, aren't they normally custom made?
I guess, but like I think you pick them out. You pick out right.
They have options. Like if you go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot, they have options.
Yeah.
But if you want it to be a specific thing, they do have to be custom made.
Yeah, I guess they just said like every individual single tile had to be custom made. And that just seemed like they said they looked at colors that would have been easier to put in, but they were like, no, we need to make each individual one so that it would look.
That seems like such like a nothing burger of a brag by them. Like that.
Yeah.
We wanted it to look a certain way. So we had custom bathroom towels made. Well, no shit. That's how that works. Like,
yeah.
That's like, look at all the care we took into it. Like, it's the behind the scenes of the fucking Lord of the Rings movies or some shit. Like, no, this.
Did
you
know?
You guys made a bathroom.
When he kicks the helmet.
Yeah, I know. Did you know that when fucking Roland kicks the kitchen tile, it was custom made.
They had one clip of the original creator on set.
Oh, he was there.
I think Ollie was there too with him, which was weird.
Huh.
It was just the two of them. I was like, those are the two? Anyway, I mean, like, I'm happy, but it was kind of a weird choice. And they're just talking about, they were on the marble set and they were talking about how accurate it was.
Mm.
Like, but that's the only clip in the entire making of that they appear.
That's like when Miyamoto showed up to the Super Nintendo World.
And then the thing that's going to, I think, frustrate you, they talked about the final challenge. They talked about, like, you know, we kept escalating it, and we thought it would be so funny if the final game was decided by something as simple as rock, paper, scissors.
That's what they said? That's a cop-out. That's not... So, that's a cop-out because what they're really saying is we didn't fucking know what to do. That's really what they're saying. And
they said that, and I was like, that's going to piss Mike off.
You know, I'm not pissed off about it, but it's just, that's just like 100% so transparently a cop-out.
They were so proud of themselves, too. They were like, was nothing that could have been funnier than rock, paper, scissors.
It wasn't funny. Let me tell you why it wasn't funny. It made a TV show that I really had liked up to that point boring. I'm sorry. Like, we had a great time watching the show and covering it until the last episode, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
Everything else was at least somewhat interesting or engaging, and then it was just a wet fart of an ending that one competitor took pretty seriously, and the other one just didn't. And it made for just, like, the most anticlimactic ending, which, when you compare it to the actual television show, obviously they couldn't have them wrestle over, you know, over the win, but man, it was, and they thought maybe adding the keys would make it more like, no, it sucked. That was just not good. And so you can say, haha, we did it to be funny all you want, but we all know that you guys just didn't have a better idea and that you should have hired Landon.
Yes. Hire hashtag Landon for Squid Game.
That's what should have happened. And you guys should be ashamed of yourselves that you're trying to pass it off like it was some funny joke.
You want to know what the best part is?
Wow, this great show that we put all this production into, and we got custom-made handmade tiles, but we decided to end it on a joke? Yeah, that makes a lot of fucking sense. Fuck you, Squid Game creators. You don't know what you're talking about. That's such bullshit. Now I'm mad. I worked myself up. I'm mad now because that is just such a fucking bullshit thing to say. When you're going to talk about how painstakingly thorough and anal we were about this, and then, you know what would be really funny? Rock, paper, scissors. You guys all deserve to lose your jobs. This is insane.
You know what the best rant. Part is?
What?
The key didn't even work.
Shut the fuck up.
The final, they said this in one of the podcasts I listened to. They said Mai had to stand there for like 20 minutes while multiple adjudicators were like, no, this is the right key, we swear.
Oh,
it's just
God.
Not turning.
Oh my God.
And they had to make sure that, like, yes, this is the correct key and that it's not working. They, like, the whole thing came to a halt because they had to make sure that, no, this wasn't the wrong key. Their thing was just broken.
Holy shit. Oh, man. Well,
I just thought it was so funny as well watching it. Like, they were so proud of what they did, all of them. And, like, some of them, it was like, yeah, I think when they were talking about designing the games, I was like, yes, this is very impressive. But I did think it was funny watching them all sit there and talk about how proud they were of what they were making, knowing that everybody on the internet hated their guts.
It
was interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's a lot about the show. Like, don't get me wrong. A lot about this show was good, right?
Yeah.
And I don't really buy into the, you're torturing people for entertainment, because these people all signed up and knew what they were getting into, right?
Yeah.
So I don't buy that. But I will say they fumbled the bag here. Like, I really do think, thinking about the last episode with some time passed from it, They really fumbled the bag. I think everybody was really excited to see the finale. I think everybody was really, like, into it. And then, like, people barely talked about it after, right?
I think you could feel it in our coverage of it. And this kind of can segue into another the conversation I wanted to have about how nice everybody was during the show. Because I don't think that the fumble was just on the fault of the producers. Like, I think that, yes, like you said, the ending it on fucking rock, paper, scissors is insane. Rock, paper, scissors. But like in the podcast, they talked about how they didn't really like Mai because Mai was, I mean, they said that like she was backstabbing people, but what they were describing was like she was taking the game seriously.
Right.
And that to me is where, like I said earlier, I started to lose interest at the end because the people at the end weren't really taking it serious. Like, I mean, they were taking it seriously, but they were being so nice to each other. And there's something uplifting about that, which we talked about in the podcast at length, about how, like, this thing that is really about, like, the darkest parts of humanity being exploited in this way actually ended up showing how cooperative and how nice people can be in that setting. And to that extent, you know, that's an interesting thing to be able to talk about coming out of the show. But I think that the fact that, like, by the time we got to the end, really only one of the contestants was, like, playing the mind game that the show was. Like, I don't know.
And not that's particularly me. Well, by the way.
No, no.
She wasn't that, like, good. She was just the only one playing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She wasn't that great. She was just the only one playing.
Yeah.
Is
Sean, I have a headline for you.
Okay.
Millennials have ruined the Squid Game. Millennials have ruined the housing market. They've ruined fast food. Millennials
now
have now
ruined the Squid Game.
Ruined the Squid Game.
Can we get that as a noisy pixel article or something?
Yeah, that's what it. In all honesty, I'm not trying to make this a political thing by any stretch, like. The people in this game were mostly around my age, millennials, right? They're in that generation. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's a lot of qualities that millennials possess that make them a very uplifting generation of people. But a lot of it is this, like, kumbaya, sit around the fire bullshit, where it's like, that's not how the... And yes, it's uplifting, but that's not how the world is, you know? And, like, then... this is a very political statement I'm about to say, but then that's how we get like millennials complaining about how they don't make enough money or they don't have this or they don't have that. And it's like, sometimes you guys have to be a little more cutthroat to get what you want, you know? And Mai, not a millennial, a little bit older, plays the game how it's supposed to be played and wins.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, That it's very resonant to me, and resonating to me, and I feel like there's a lot. If there were boomers that were watching this game, they felt the same way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's like, and you know, hey, it's great that this didn't make the like mission statement of the show true, right? Because all these people were so nice, but like, if anything, it shows why like a lot of people fail in life because they're just that. You don't owe these people anything. Sure, you're going to make some lifetime friends or whatever, you know, in some cases. But, like, you're there to win. Why are you not trying to win?
And I feel like it's, like...
To be nice?
I don't even... To me, it's like you're playing a game. I don't know if you can get mad if you lose it.
No.
I mean, like, obviously people will because they're sore losers. But, like...
And I think Phil... You know, I think Phil was the perfect poster child for this because... He didn't seem angry he lost in any way, you know, but he didn't try.
Like,
the only time he really tried was in when he knew no one would know he tried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
during the circle of trust, right? During the circle of trust, no one would know he, like, when he dropped the box on, who was it? Shit, I'm trying to remember who it was because it wasn't Sam and it wasn't Mai. Was it Hallie at that point?
Was it the one lady who, like, we didn't know?
I don't remember. Whoever he eliminated by dropping the box on their desk, like, that's the only time he really was competitive, right? Other than, like, he Phoenix righted that whole game, but that was just, like, he was shocked when he would, like, get it right. You know what I mean? So it's, like, it's so strange to me that like this is how this game turned out, because it just seems like no one actually wanted to, like, no one wanted to offend anybody by playing the game. But it's like, that's what you're there for.
You, especially when you add in the degree of it being a social game. Right. Like, that's, you know, like
you don't see this happening on Survivor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people, it's just, people know.
Yeah. It's something. And like, you know, by the end of the game, and I think that probably, I think that there probably would have been, and I bet you the producers were doing this. I'm going out on a limb here, so I could be way wrong. But I bet you that the producers, because this is their job, were trying to stir up more of that competitive attitude. But I bet the elimination of people like Lorenzo and Bryce, who are very much reality TV characters, them getting eliminated so early probably scared anybody off from being like, I'm also going to play up this character and be, you know, what the show kind of needs or what the producers want the show for the entertainment value.
Well,
right?
That, and then like you take something like Hunger Games, right? Where you're rebelling against the game that you're put in. And it's like, that worked out for them, right? But it's like, you guys chose to be here. It's not like you were captured and put in this game, and now you're like, we're going to show the creators of this game that we're not going to be controlled. No, you wanted to do this. So and, play, you know, the, like, damn game.
We talked a lot about how, like, about what happened with Ashley and Trey. And, you know, it's like, looking back, like, even though it seems like there's about 7 million different stories about what happened on that bridge.
Right.
it really feels like she played the game.
She did.
You know?
She did.
And what frustrated me more was how everybody reacted to my playing the game back afterwards.
Right. Yeah. You know? So I was very vocal about how I did not like Ashley for a number of reasons. But that was more due to my love of Trey, because I felt like Trey, while being a nice guy, was still playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was like the hero type. He's still playing. Yeah. He's there to play, but
he got his mom out.
Right. Right. I mean, he had to, right?
Yeah.
And so the fact that he was being honorable and
he didn't have to, I think, is my point, is like, he could have given up.
Well, right. He could have let his mom win, for sure. For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. But I think that shows, like, he was playing. He took out his mother, you know?
He was being the more honorable player, and so it made me angry in the moment, but like, then the fact that Mai tried to like be somewhat honorable back and go after her, and then everybody's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Why are you treating her like this? And sure, there's like, obviously they painted it a certain way in the editing room, right? But like, I don't know, man. That's probably where the show kind of turned. Now, I still loved like Circle of Trust. I thought that was a brilliant game design.
I think a lot of Circle of Trust for me is how good Phil plays it, to be honest, in terms of like the acting.
That, but I also think it's a well-designed game, and so it kind of makes up for the fact that the people aren't super cutthroat in it. But Ashley was still there, right? And Mai was still there.
And Mai was being cutthroat.
And then, like you said, the whole dinner thing didn't super hit because you wanted people to murder each other.
Yeah, exactly. I was really hoping that Mai would like suplex.
And so it just kind of, it's almost like the glass bridge was kind of the peak of the show.
I would agree. I think
it started to go down slowly there.
I feel like we lost people like TJ as well, who was kind of playing, you know?
TJ was playing, but he was like being a leader and, you know?
Yeah.
So we lost a lot of people that were playing the game.
Yeah.
And we ended up with a bunch of people who were, for whatever reason, still there because they had blended in or made certain alliances that worked for them and got lucky, but they weren't, you know? I mean, Phil was definitely someone who was playing sometimes and not playing all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody else was just kind of like, besides Mai, was just like, I'm not a player. I'm not here to play. I just want to be on the sidelines.
It sounds like, you know, from everything that I've gotten out of these, listening to these things, it sounds like for the people that played, great experience. And that's kind of the positive of how they played, right? Is that they come out of it where pretty much everybody liked each other and pretty much everybody made friends. And like for them, this was a positive life experience, which is good.
Right.
But when you look at it from the perspective of this is a reality TV show that is entertainment, I think that's why the show, how close they grew And the fact that they got rid of anybody who, like, they weren't close to so early, like, it would be a different, it'd be a different game if Brighton's boat hadn't sank.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, that one is a coincidence. Yeah. Of, like, they've just managed to win that game. If Brighton is there, it keeps going, it's a different game.
Yeah.
But the fact that by some engineering of the players, by how they chose to play the games, and also just the luck of other games, we ended up with a group of final contestants who just, like, wasn't that exciting to
right.
watch.
Well, and something I just thought of, the way the original show is designed, right, is they're putting they agree to this situation, but yeah. they don't I don't remember what exactly they agree to, but they don't necessarily know that they have a chance to die, right?
They do not know.
No. Because no one would have agreed. Well, I guess
they
I
get
guess
the
they
chance
come
to
back
leave
and,
after they
right,
find out.
Right, yeah. right, 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 yeah. right, right. But
going in for the first time, they don't know they're gonna die in red light, green light.
Right, right. And so to me, like having that mentality that they kind of have in the show. I think a lot of people tried to carry that over to the reality show where it's like, oh, we're doing this, but we don't have, you know, we don't want to, and we don't. And it's like, that's not the case here. No one's dying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
No one is selling their soul for this. You agreed to play a game and then you just didn't play.
The reality is that, like, I mean, it's difficult to say, but like the reality is that, money isn't a big enough motivator for this. And I think it would be interesting, like, Netflix has a show, Too Hot to Handle, which is, I've seen, like, the first season. It's pretty good. It's the premise is they get a bunch of hot 20-somethings to go onto an island together under the idea that they're going to be filming, like, a Bachelor-type show. But instead, it is a game where if they have any sort of physical contact, they lose money.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a great premise. But when you're casting that kind of show, you are deliberately looking for a certain kind of person.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I feel like, I know it would be harder because, like, you got to get 456 people for a Squid Game, but I feel like maybe in casting as well, they could do a better job of, like, we need some characters next season, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like they probably did. It's just the randomness of the game.
The randomness
kind
of
leads
it.
To,
yeah.
Because you don't want to have just all characters, right?
That's true.
Because then it's not believable. Then it's not.
Absolutely.
But the problem is, due to the randomness of it, they ended up with, like, mostly non-characters and mostly just people who are just nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, right. There's upsides, like we said, and downsides to it. So,
right.
You know,
so I'm excited to see what they do next season.
Me too.
I'm also very excited to see what the show, the scripted show, does next season.
Yeah, presumably that'll be coming first.
It's coming in 2024, is what they said with this yeah. most recent little teaser trailer. So,
and I don't think that we're going to get the other one. I don't think we'll get the next season of the show this year.
I don't think they'll put them out at the same time, right? Like that.
No. And so, well, I also just think, I don't know that they're going to have enough time.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'm excited to see if the creator sees something on the reality show and goes, oh, that would be really cool. Like,
yeah.
We talked about Battleships, you know, like being like, that would be a cool, like, game to, like,
yeah,
do in, like, the show where people are fucking blowing up or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that would be pretty wild. Pretty gory, too. So I don't know. We'll see what if he steals from that at all. And then, you know, it's funny because they're auditioning for the reality show. But they're probably going to film it before Squid Game Season 2 comes out.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, are they going to have inside track of what games they do in Season 2? Are they going to, you know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Well, and we don't even know if Season 2 is going to be like the same format as far as the scripted show goes, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. But I'm assuming there'll be games because that was kind of the big draw of it, right? That's kind of, you know, what the deal is. But anyway, I'm excited to see all of it. I appreciate everybody listening and watching and hanging out with us through this experience. It's been really fun. If you want to chat with us in the meantime, like we've talked about before, you can join the Discord. The link's in the description. You can also email us at squidboysspq@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter where I'm at Spaghetti Bros. And what's your handle, Sean?
I'm at Sean_AFK.
Anything you want to plug today, my friend?
I mean, I'm going to continue to plug at Speak Stormlight on Twitter, which is my Speak the Words, the podcast about a series of books called The Cosmere. There should be new stuff coming up relatively soon. So I'm going to plug that.
Okay.
If there isn't new stuff there, just know I tried.
There's on one of our BoJack podcasts, you said something like, hey, if there's not a third episode of this podcast out, I'm in danger. And then you didn't do it.
That was right.
People were like, Sean, are you okay?
No, I was in danger. I wasn't. It wasn't good.
Anyway, thank you to everybody who emailed us and supported the show. We will be back. We probably when the scripted show's season 2 comes out, The Squid Game. Thank you guys so much. Anything else you want to say to the people, Sean?
No, that's it. I'm ready to end the podcast.
I am also ready to end the podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.